Good morning, church. How are you all this morning? It's His breath in our lungs, just like that song says. It's His breath that's in our lungs, keeping us, guiding us, keeping us alive. And when we look at our God and how great He is and the great things that He's done, the great things that He continues to do for us, we are left standing in awe of Him. That's all that we are who's speechless in here before their God this morning? The worship was beautiful this morning. It is every week. And it's a blessing to have the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of God within people, in operation, in the local body. And we don't praise man, but we praise God. We don't praise woman, but we praise God. Amen. It's all glory to Him. And He is a wonderful, wonderful God. And as Margie said earlier this morning, the theme this morning, the message is through it all. Through it all, through the darkness, through the mountains, through the valleys, God is with us. And by the time that you leave here today, I want you to walk out those doors. God wants all of us to walk out those doors set free, knowing that He is on your side through every valley, every time the lights in your life are turned off, that He's the one that will come and turn them back on. And that light is Jesus Christ. Let us open in prayer this morning. Dear Lord Jesus, we come before You this morning with grateful hearts, with thankful hearts. We thank You, Lord Jesus, that in everything and in all things You deserve all of the glory and all of the praise. Your promises are yes and amen, and You promised each one of us, each one who desires to follow You, You promised us that You would never leave us nor forsake us. So we give You all of the praise this morning, and we thank You as Your word is sent forth by Your Holy Spirit this morning, that I would deliver that word by Your inspiration, Lord, by Your direction. And that the word, Father, in turn would be received into the hearts of every believer in this room. And that would be transforming to their lives, transforming to the lives of those around them. And Lord, let us not be selfish in holding this to ourselves, but let us proclaim Your word to all of the ends of the earth as every opportunity that You give us at each day. And we thank You that You would bless this time together in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. God is good, and He's good all of the time. And I say that a lot because I realize that a lot. There's so many things that all of us have gone through in life. And from a personal testimony and acknowledgement, I just want to share something just real briefly this morning in relation to this message. And I looked at my grandparents, and I looked at how hard they worked all of their lives and how many challenges that they faced on the farming and whatever they did. But right until the day that my grandmother passed away, they were still married. They were still together. And we live in a world that isn't committed anymore. Not committed to marriage, not committed to a job, not committed to anything. We live in a world that as soon as the going gets tough, they run the other way. They go and hide. They just say, no, this is all too much. I'm going to put this in the too hard basket and walk away. I know personally, even in my own marriage, I've had challenges. Jody's had challenges. She's had health challenges. We've had relationship challenges where it was going to be just so easy just to walk out and go. But through it all, in everything and in all things, we turn to God. And my grandparents, throughout their life, my grandmother was a Christian, my pop was not, except for the last 3 or 4 years of his life that I know of, because I had the gracious opportunity to share Jesus with him. At a time that when I vividly remember this, that I went up to him one day, because my pop was a man that would come home drunk, ripped the tablecloth and all the food that Nan had made for the kids, and destroy the night, basically. And that's what alcohol did in their case. But my nan stood by him through it all. They didn't have what would be the fairy tale relationship, I guess, but they stood by each other despite all of that. And I think we can learn from that as well in our lives, that our lives aren't always a fairy tale. Things aren't always perfect. Things aren't always to the blueprint that we have written. But I can tell you that they are to the blueprint that God is writing, because he's the author and he's the finisher of your faith. And I want to be you to be encouraged. I want to be encouraged this morning as well. I don't want to be selfish about it, but I want some encouragement this morning as well. That no matter what you're going through, no matter what challenges in your relationship, in your finances, in your health, no matter what you're going through it all, God is there for you. All you have to do is call on his name, and he is there with his hand, and his hand is not too short. Who's got long arms? Pete, you got long arms there? You know, you look at long arms, long legs. God is endless. If you think you're out of his reach, you're not. And I don't want this to be a motivational go get a message. I want this to be a revelation to you this morning. I want you to have this implanted in your heart. And some foundational passages I just want to read here, because we have to know, and I know you all know, but we have to be reminded sometimes that this world that we're living in, like the prayers that were just prayed, this world is a right mess. It's a complete mess. There is things that are written in the Word of God. There is instructions and commands of God even that are completely being overridden by governmental laws now. I'm not going to go and say blatantly what they are. You know what they are. That it's all right to do things that are contrary to the Word of God according to government laws. And for a Christian to stand up against that, it's criminal in the eyes of the world. But I can tell you it's admirable, it's commendable in the eyes of God. And I have a greater fear of God than I do of man. I have a greater fear of God than the law of this land, because the law of God is much higher. And the law of God has been fulfilled by his dear Son, Jesus Christ. So I choose to trust in Jesus Christ and him crucified. I trust in him through it all, through everything, every challenge, every mountain, every valley. This opening passage here is just a short snippet of what I want to touch on today, but it says in John chapter 17, verse 32 and 33, I'll read 32 as well as 33, and it says, "Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone." This is Jesus speaking. "And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Jesus has two purposes in this passage here as we're reading this. And the number one purpose is that to tell the church, or to tell his people, his followers, and to tell you and me this morning that in this world you will have tribulation. What is tribulation? It's like the Greek word thelspis or something. It's fun, really hard to say. But this word means a pressure. A pressurizing, like pressing against, a force against you, like oppression, suffering. All of those things. The world wants to oppress. The enemy wants to oppress. When the enemy sees that you are a sold out believer for Jesus Christ, all he wants is to come against you. He wants to bring you down. If he can't get rid of you completely, he wants to wear you down. But you know what the will of God in tribulation for you is? Is instead of being worn down, you being the one being worn down, you need to wear the enemy down by your faith. You need to wear the enemy down by the Word of God that's in your heart and in your life, saying, just as Jesus was in the wilderness, Satan was trying to wear him down for those 40 days. But he said, every time Satan said one thing, what did Jesus say? Three words. What did he say? Good work. I'm very impressed. That was the best response I've ever had. It is written. He had the word in his heart. He is the word, by the way. But for us, we have him in our heart. We have the word in our heart. So when the enemy comes in like a flood, when the armies, like the three great armies that come against Jehoshaphat, what happened? God raised up a banner. When he comes in like a flood, we need to say, yes, enemy, it is written that greater is he who lives in me than he is in the world, that God works all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose, that I'm not going to grow weary in well-doing because I know in due season I'm going to reap if I don't lose heart. And it just goes on and on, the word of God. And I'm not just picking little fairy scriptures out there. That is the word of God. When God says, I will work in your life, when God says, you are a work in progress, you're under construction, I believe that. Do you believe that in the house this morning? Do you believe that when God starts working on you, he does not stop working on you because you've upset him or because you've even walked away? You might have walked away from God. Do you believe he stops working? No. He wants to work on you. He wants to work in you. And then he wants to work through you so that others can be touched, so that others can be changed. And in this passage, this short little passage here, Jesus has another purpose, not just that to tell them that they're going to go through tribulation, but this other purpose is that through this tribulation, I am your peace. I am your comfort. I am the one that will be there right through. Come thick or thin, hell or high water, I will be there for you and I will give you peace. And not just a normal peace. Like in the world, me and Jody have just been away for 3 days. It was our anniversary earlier in the week, so I took Jody away for 3 days. Aren't you proud of me? I don't want praise. I just took her away for 3 days and we were looking forward to peace. We were looking forward to a peaceful few days away, and ultimately at times we had some. But even before we left, our dog got sick and we had to bring it to the vet. So from getting to the location we wanted to get to on the day of our departure, we should have been there at like 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. We didn't get there till like 6 p.m., which wasn't too bad, but we didn't get, it messed, the first day was a mess because of the dog. And then each day we had to keep following up on the dog. And then the boys are very reliant on mum, especially when she's away. So she wouldn't stop getting phone calls. And, you know, so there wasn't much peace, though we'd had a great time. But that's the world, isn't it? That's what happens in the world. The world wants to steal your time. It wants to take your peace. It wants to bring you down. It wants to see and take pleasure in your misfortunes. But God's not like that. The peace of God is different to what we think the peace in the world is. The peace of God is a peace that surpasses our and transcends our human understanding. The Bible teaches that. A peace that, you know, no one out there in the world knows. And they will never know it unless they know Jesus. And they will never know Jesus unless we tell them. You know, whether you're a Christian or you're a non-believer, you're still going to go through stuff. When I go to a doctor's surgery, Jody's doctor's, you know, with her heart condition, they're not all Christians in there. There might be some, but they're going through the same thing Jody's going through. But Jody has Jesus. We as a family have Jesus to help us through these times. And it's so tempting to sometimes just, you know, with all the medical bills and all of the things that just succumb and just flood you and saying, well, you know, I've just been out working all week and it's all gone to this heart doctor. It's so easy to just think, oh, what an injustice. Seems so unfair. But my days of pity party are over because I know that whatever happens through it all, God is going to provide because he's Jehovah Jireh. He's our provider. And you know what? There hasn't been one time where I've said, Dr. Hayes, can you please see my wife and do what you got to do? But this time I just can't pay for it. There's never been one time because God never lets you down. God always provides. He always makes sure that you're looked after. And in this passage, You will have tribulation, distress, suffering, oppression. You will have persecution. You will have challenges in your life. But his desire is to be there every step of the way. Every storm, every dark moment, every flood, he will be there and he will bring you through. I'm just going to turn over to the book of Revelation. There's a passage here that I just want to quickly just read through, because this sort of brings us to the end of the story before I tell you a little bit more. I know it's a bit back the front, but I want to show you the result of living like this, of where you will end up. Does everyone know where they're going to end up one day? Well, this story can be about you then, hey? It's found in Revelation chapter 7, and we're just going to read verse 9. I've always found it hard to understand Revelation. I've always found it hard to preach about Revelation because there's a lot of symbolism, there's a lot of stuff. But this here to me is plain. And it says, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. All the angels stood around the throne and the elders and four living creatures and fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever, amen. Verse 13, then one of the elders answered, saying to me, who are these arrayed in white robes and where did they come from? And I said to him, sir, you know. So he said to me, these are the ones who came out of great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger any more, nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water, and God will wipe away from them the tears from their eyes. You might say, theological people might say, no, that's not talking about you, but I believe Jesus has clothed me with a robe of righteousness. And that robe of life, if you want to say what it was beforehand, my righteousness, my sin, my everything, my self-righteousness, all of that has been dipped in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it has been made as white as snow because of him. And therefore, I can come before the throne of grace, the throne of God. I will be there permanently one day, day and night, serving the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, I don't believe there's night in heaven, but because there's light in heaven, amen, and in the eternal. But the point I'm trying to make is that as we place our trust in Jesus, that these are the ones that have come out of great tribulation. The Word of God just said it, that these are the ones. These are the ones that when tribulation and distress attacked their lives, that they chose to sing. They chose to praise. They didn't lose their voice. They didn't have a pity party, but they chose to trust in their God. When your marriage was breaking down, you chose to trust in God, to seek God, and to say, well, the enemy's just saying leave. The psychiatrist is just saying leave, get out, go. Everyone's saying all of the stuff that the world thinks that you should do, the wisdom of the world. But God seems to say, I've got it under control. Just trust me. Yes, make some changes because you need to, but just trust me and I will see you through. I will get you through to the other side. That storm that is raging in your relationship, in your finances, in your job, wherever that storm is raging in your life today, don't give up. Don't turn your back on it and say, this is all too much, and walk away. It's tribulation, it's persecution, perhaps whatever you want to call it. It's a challenge, it's a fire, it's a trial, but God will bring you through. Just as he brought the Israelites through the Red Sea. And the greatest thing, you know, when God brings you through, in a lot of situations, there's an enemy that's coming against you, whatever that enemy is, but that enemy will be drowned. Amen? That enemy will be overcome. What happened to the Egyptian soldiers when the nation of Israel, being led by Moses, were to the other side? What happened to the Red Sea walls? They come crashing down and destroyed the enemy. The enemy wants to take from you. He wants to bring you down. He wants to see you drowned. But I can tell you, when you place your trust in God, when you listen to Him, and that He makes the way in that wilderness place, that if you walk in it, that you will see the enemy fall. In fact, if you're looking at the message of the cross, the enemy has already fallen. He already has no hope anyway. That's why he runs rampant across and tries to visit our homes and our families and all of our businesses and whatever, to try and destroy them, because he's clutching at straws. He's desperate to destroy and for people to have what he has, and that is nothing. But I can tell you, I want you to know this morning, God wants us to know that all we need is him. Through everything and in everything, through it all, he is there for us. And when we go to that place of tribulation, when we find ourselves in that place of challenge, we need to know that the Lord Jesus Christ takes us by the hand and he will lead us to that promised land. Amen? He'll take you there if you'll just grasp his hand. And he will take you there. We're just going to have a look at a story here, and it's an inspirational story to me, and a practical story to what we're talking about. And it's found in Acts chapter 16. If you want to just turn over there, we're just going to read through that. It's a well-known story, and it starts in verse 16, and I think we will just read it, just to get a bearing on what is happening here. So verse 16 of chapter 16 of the book of Acts. Now it happened, as we went to prayer, that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who bought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us, cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation." And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out of her that very hour. I'm just going to study this as we go, just so I don't have to come back to it. But you're looking here at Paul and Silas. They're walking this walk every day. But one day, Paul just gets fed up with it. "I've had enough. I've had enough of the enemy's taunts and his schemes, and I've had enough of this young girl being abused, not by just her masters, but by the demon that's possessing her. I've had enough." We've got to be like that. We've got to be like that in our lives sometimes. "I've had enough of this. I'm going to stand against this. I'm going to stand up against this situation." So Paul does, and that very hour he came out, it says. Verse 19, "But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, 'These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe.' Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods." What have they done here? What have they done here? They have just done what they're called to do. They've just done, cast out demons. Did Jesus say, "Greater works will you do"? And this is just one of those greater works. And yet, they're being persecuted and condemned for it. "So then the multitude rose up together against them. The magistrates tore off their clothes, commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and every one's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called out with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and ran in and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in the house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into the house, he set food before them and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all of his household. We're just going to pull it up there. The key that I want you to get out of this passage is that Paul and Silas were under persecution. They're under oppression because of doing God's work. All of us are susceptible, vulnerable to that. As we are doing God's work, me up here preaching, you doing your thing, whatever you are called to do, that will bring attention of the world, negative attention at times of the world. We look at preachers and martyrs overseas, like there's martyrs dying every day and being under the persecution of Muslims and whatever else is happening over there. They're losing their heads. They're dying for the work of the kingdom. When we're looking at Paul and Silas, in the midst of their persecution, what was their action? What was their action? Was it to sit in the prison and say, "Woe is me. I can't deal with this. It's so unfair, God. We've been doing so much for you, and look at, you've just allowed us to fall into this prison and not only just be sitting in the prison, but be locked up so we can't move our hands or feet either. Locked up securely," it says. But that wasn't their reaction, was it? That wasn't their attitude. Their attitude was simply singing and praising the Lord. Count it all joy. Count it all joy, as Peter said, when I fall in all these trials and these challenges come against me, when man comes against me, when the world wants my bad, God wants your good. Amen. He'll turn what is bad into good, just like he did for Joseph, just like he mentions in the book of Romans, that there is nothing that the enemy can throw against you that God won't deliver you out of. There's absolutely nothing. And you might say, "Oh, well, my friend or my family member died of cancer. He didn't come out of that, or she didn't come out of that." If she's a believer, yes, she did. If he's a believer, yes, he did. Because they're in the almighty presence of God. These are they that have come through great tribulation, just like Revelation talked about when we read that. So we look at this story that not only does Paul and Silas, because of this decision that they made to keep praising God, singing hymns, not only does it affect them, but it affects those around them. At midnight, that earth quaked. Those prison doors were thrust open and everyone was free to go, even though they didn't take that opportunity. Because as you read, that the Philippian jailer was just about to thrust the sword through himself to commit suicide because he knew his fate if he lost prisoners. It was obviously not a common occurrence that earthquakes would come and prison doors would just suddenly be open. So it would have been a big deal the next day when his bosses, or whatever you want to call them, found out that the prisoners had all gone. So Paul did not take that opportunity, but he did take the opportunity to share Jesus with him. He did take the opportunity, and as he shared Jesus with him, that man's life was changed. That man's heart was changed. And that man's family was changed, because it wasn't just the Philippian jailer who said, "How shall I be saved? How is it that I should be saved?" That his family was saved. And then when he was saved, he was immediately graced with the gift of hospitality and compassion, and the Holy Spirit fruits were starting to operate in his life already. It says in the word that he was binding up the stripes of these prisoners, and he offered them food. See how God can turn things around. If we go and we just rewind right back to the start of that story, if it wasn't for that demon-possessed girl, they would never have been in that prison, most probably. Maybe for another reason, but that's the reason in this case it was. So what the devil meant for evil, God turned for good. We have a slave girl who is delivered, set free from the bondages. we have exploiting masters that are where they should be now, with no way of profit, making profit off evil things. We have a Philippian jailer saved. We have probably all of the prisoners that were in the prison thinking about, if not saved as well. So what Satan meant for evil, God made it all good. He set justice in place. And he does that. That's just one story. And that can be your story too. That can be my story. When there's a challenge, when the enemy comes in like a flood to try and take you out and wear you down, and to put that pressure upon you in every situation, in every circumstance, through it all, learn to trust in Jesus. No matter how hard it is to praise him, you might be just so unwell, you just haven't got the energy to stand up. You haven't got the nous to say those words. But I impress on your heart today to press in. Press in the hard times, because he'll bring you out of those hard times. He will calm that wild storm that rages in your heart, and he will bring you to that place of peace in the midst of that tribulation, in the midst of that persecution. He will come and comfort you. He might not deliver you straight away. You may have to endure for a while, but I can tell you, while the night rages and the storm rages, the morning is coming. The sun will shine again. When I take Jody to Brisbane, she hates going through the Legacy Tunnel. She's claustrophobic. She doesn't like that stuff, and it's a shortcut. I say it's shorter to get to where we need to go. I have to learn to be a bit more sensitive. But when we go through that Legacy Tunnel, I just encourage her. When you start seeing the light on those walls, when you start seeing that the light on that left wall, that means the tunnel, we're coming out of it. It's getting closer. We're getting closer and closer. And when we the further and further you move on, the more and more light that shines. The more we press forward, the more light that shines. And then all of a sudden, there's a big archway exit out of that tunnel, and we're back, and we can see the blue sky again. We can see the sunshine again, and all the traffic and all the other stuff. Because why? Because we pressed on. I just didn't pull over and just wait for the tunnel to suck me out. I had to move. I had to move. I had to make an action so that I could see the result. So through it all, I didn't give up. Through it all, my car kept running. And I just want to use that as an analogy, a metaphor, an example, whatever you want to call it, for your life. That we are going through a life, and sometimes we'll go through tunnels. Sometimes we'll be claustrophobic Christians, Christians that don't want to be in this situation. But I can tell you, we have no choice in being in the situation, but we have a choice in the situation. And the choice is to place our trust in Jesus Christ. And I just want you to be encouraged this morning that all of these tunnels of life, these challenges, these mountains of life, that God is with you every step of the way. And he will shine that light, just like that tunnel where you can start seeing the light. God will show you glimpses of his glory. And as you follow that glory, you'll have a peace in your heart that surpasses understanding. One more passage before we sing this final song this morning is found in Philippians, and this is one of my favorite passages. Do I say that a lot? I'm sorry, but they're all our favorite. They should all be our favorite passages. I'm just going to turn to Philippians and read this. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 to 13. This is Paul speaking. This is the same man that was in the Philippian jail, the same man with Silas. And this is him saying something so powerful. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learnt both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can do all things through all things because of Him. So my encouragement to you this morning, church, as we sing this final song, through it all, rest in the strength of God. Rest in the peace of God. Rest in His Word. Fellowship with believers of like-mindedness. Hang around people that will build you up and not tear you down. And the only people that will be able to do that in the right way, in the godly way, are true followers of Jesus Christ. Jesus came to seek and save that which is lost. He told His disciples in John chapter 16, He told them that you'll have tribulation, but in that tribulation, I'll give you the peace. I'll give you that peace. He told them that in that tribulation, be of good cheer because I have overcome it. And because I have overcome it, you will overcome it. And the Romans passage that was read first this morning talks about that there is nothing that will separate us from the love of God. There is nothing that can come between you and God once you set your heart like flint towards Him. Is your heart set to Him this morning? If it is, we're just going to say a short prayer before we enter into this song of encouragement and conclusion of this message this morning. Heavenly Father, we set our hearts to You this morning. We thank You, Lord Jesus, that You are always with us, never to leave us, never to forsake us, never to fail us. And though at times when the storms rage, we become weak, we thank You that You are strong in our weaknesses, that You are the God of all strength, You're the God of all hope, You are our deliverer, You are our waymaker, You are our portion, You are the glory of our lives. And we thank You this morning, Lord, as each heart has received Your word, that they may be going through some stuff right now that is overwhelming. But I thank You this morning, Lord, that overwhelming mountain that is standing in front of that person, I thank You that suddenly through Your Spirit, through the revelation of Your word, that that mountain, Father God, will be reduced to a molehill. Because You are greater than that mountain. You are greater than that valley. You are greater than any darkness. You are greater than any loneliness or depression or oppression. You are greater than any tribulation. And through it all, Lord, we want to give You the praise because we know that's where the victory lies. We give You the thanks, Lord, in Jesus' name.